B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D. T-U-
It would really be the equivalent of an airline telling you, all right, you got 30 seconds to sit down. You settled in? Not really. Gotta go. I hate the transition every single time. It's the absolute worst. It's Felger and Mav, 98.5, the Sports Hub simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, brought to you by DraftKings. Mike and Tony off, it being Friday during the summer, as they're wont to do. They are enjoying some vacation time, so you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, in the a-hole chair, trying to transition and clean down the workspace. I know Mark the Beetle Bertrand keeps it very clean. He just told me he wipes this down about 14 times, but still, in these crazy COVID times, you can never be too safe. Boy, is it just a pain in the ass to come in here and start the show just like that. You ready? No, not really. Gotta go.
Could have played the long version.
Nah, the hell with it, Jimmy. Whatever.
Or we could have gotten like a two-minute piece of sound from somewhere, and we could have done that.
It's an agenda-free Friday because anything goes.
I
see what you were doing there. That was a very...
passive-aggressive.
Very passive-aggressive little comment.
That's my pitch.
I love it. It's an agenda-free Friday. I'm here in the a-hole chair. Christian Arcand is in the mass chair. What's up, Arcand?
Good to see you, buddy. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a minute. I think it's been like almost... maybe 2 years since we did
I think the last time I worked with you was at the old building, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
The red brick behind us.
This is the easiest time to do it. An agenda-free Friday where we mostly leave it up to the people, and thank God the phones have been fixed, because about an hour ago the phones were down, and it's like, oh boy, we're going to have to scramble. But agenda-free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Everything from the week is on the table. Real sports are back. The Bruins, kind of. Exhibition last night. Whew. How was that first period, if you actually watched that? Not great. I know. Exhibition, got to take it with a grain of salt. Basketball back. I know you're a hoops head, Arcand. I hope you enjoyed those last couple of games, those first two games, rather, last night. And, of course, we get the Celtics tonight as well, as that's what you wanted to open up with.
Yeah, my opening take is that the Celtics are playing a real game tonight, finally, and it just so happens to be against the best team in the NBA in the Bucks, who were juggernauts before the shutdown. And if the Celtics come out flat tonight, we talked about this the other day, I don't want to hear anything from any Green Teamers or Celtics fans or anyone about how it's just the first game, because Brad Stevens started all his scrubs in that last exhibition game against the Rockets, who started James Harden and Russell Westbrook and everybody else. And so, you know, you got a team that's banged up in Milwaukee, and I think this will tell us a lot about the team and what our realistic expectations are. But if they come out flat, I really just don't want to hear it, because that's going to, I think, magnify the fact that Brad Stevens really slow played all this and he didn't have to.
And what, did you watch any of the games last night, too?
Yeah, I thought they were both great games. I really did. And I'm not expecting this to be I don't think the Bucks will roll them over. I don't think the Celtics are a team that gets rolled by anybody, really. And they did play two good games against them earlier in the regular season. But, you know, it's just the first game against Oklahoma City, that first scrimmage, they looked flat. Second one was against Phoenix, but Phoenix shouldn't even be there. And you didn't see any of the starters going in that game earlier this week against Houston. So I don't really know what to expect. All I can say is that if they come out flat, I don't want to hear it.
I'm with you on that, too. I mean, they're as healthy as that they've been all year. I saw B-Rub, Ryan Rubb, Boston Sports Journal, and others that cover the team tweet out it's the first time in really ages that there's been no one on the Celtics injury report. So, yeah, they have absolutely no excuses, but it'll be good to see the Celtics in real action in the Orlando bubble tonight. You can catch the call here as well. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, 98.5, the Sports Hub, at 6 o'clock. So here's my opening take. MLB's coronavirus problem, it's a problem. It's spreading quickly. The latest, the Brewers-Cardinals game tonight, that has been postponed. Cardinals had a couple of positive COVID tests. So they've quarantined those players. Marlins, as we know, have close to, 20 players and staffers test positive over the last week. Phillies have had a coach and a staffer test positive. It's all a mess. A lot of games being postponed. Feels like it's all a matter of time before baseball might be shut down. Personally, if baseball went away this year because of it, I would do a Tiger Woods fist pump, but that's besides the point. The real reason I'm actually interested in this story is from a football standpoint, and I would like to know if the collective 32 owners, Commissioner Roger Goodell, you keeping an eye on this? Are you watching how these idiots in Major League Baseball are screwing up their season in a week, in a week's time? Is the NFL ready? Is there a plan? What's your plan? Because if they do, if they go about this, Arcand, I think, in their regular, normal way, it's doomed to fail. You can lose a tackle. You can lose a safety. You can lose a linebacker to a positive COVID test before a game, shut them down a couple of weeks. You lose a starting quarterback. You start losing star players. You got a whole other story on your hands. And that is what will happen if the NFL goes about it the way that Major League Baseball is going about it. They have to have a bubble-type situation. Just, it's not going to work. When you have one city like the NBA is doing it in Orlando, you have a couple of cities in the NHL like they're doing it up in Canada, they've figured it out. Their numbers keep coming back, and they're having no positive tests. But it's now abundantly clear to go about it just the normal way, that's not a plan. It's not a plan at all. It's a disaster. And football is what I care about the most, like most people. It's a massive moneymaker, and the NFL is going to plow through. But they got to figure out a real plan, because if they go about it, their regular business the way baseball has in a week, the same thing's going to happen. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, and you say, you know, they figured it out with the NBA and the NHL. We don't know that yet. We don't know that they figured it out. And I'll point out this, too. 2 weeks ago, Major League Baseball had a bunch of tests come back, and I think it was a .06 positive rate. And that was before Florida and, you know, the Marlins and everybody else. But everybody was thinking, oh, wow, look, looks like baseball figured it out. Now they just got to worry about traveling. And then, oh, wow, they start traveling, and you get cases all over the place, and the Marlins' whole team's getting put on, you know, old tour buses or RVs or something like that with a bunch of sleeper beds. So, yeah, I think that the NBA and the NHL in particular, since they're not here in America, certainly not in Florida, have a better chance of pulling this off. But you're right about the NFL. Not only is there many, many more players who could potentially contract it and then spread it around, they're traveling. They're not in the bubble. And that's going to be, I think, the biggest challenge. Any sporting league that's going to try and travel, it's just baseball and now football, are going to face these problems. And I don't see how they could possibly come out of it unscathed unless they really crack down. And I don't think they're going to.
So it's an agenda-free Friday, which means that you, the people, lead the way. Whatever you'd like to discuss from the week. Yes, even the Red Sox, who will look at that now. Won two straight games. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll go to you early and often, as who is usually sitting here is wont to say, Jimmy, you can release the hounds and open up the phone lines at 617-779-0985. As I said, like, I'm pumped because, like, real sports are back. Baseball, clearly, if you've listened with any regularity, you know it's like my fourth sport, and it's a precipitous drop-off from the first three to baseball. But those games last night in the NBA, I only kind of half-watched the Utah game against New Orleans, and I can understand, at least from a national standpoint, why a lot of people are bitching about Zion Williamson not getting a lot of playing time. But look, the guy is, you know, the cornerstone of that team. Going forward, you want to play it safe with Zion Williamson. That second game, it really wrapped up like a playoff game. That was, if you stayed up and watched Lakers-Clippers, I completely forgot about the hell time we're living in, Arcand, that there were no fans. I loved it. It felt like what I'm used to as a sports fan, like watching the NBA. That was a great product last night from top to bottom. It was awesome.
I think the NBA's really got it right in terms of the production quality and how it looks. I think they've got it better than anybody else. And the NHL's close. We'll see what the NFL does. I think Major League Baseball's got a real issue. Every single game looks like a blowout because they're just, no matter what inning it is, they're there. It's empty. You know, there's no one in the stands. The balls are rattling around in the crowd in the empty seats when there's a foul ball. But in the NBA, they blocked out all the seats. They have the benches as almost like theater seating, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Each player has his own room. He can sort of, you know, kick back and relax. It looks like there's actually fans. It's just the guys on the bench. And then they have those video boards, which kind of get you into the spirit of like a big jumbotron, you know? So I think visually, yeah, the NBA definitely has it over everybody so far. We'll see what the NHL looks like when they officially start this weekend. But, I thought that game, both games, were really exciting. And they really sort of had me the whole time, yeah.
Lakers still a prohibitive favorite?
I'd say, yeah, they are. I mean, well, the Bucks were so good this year, but I think everyone sort of expects them to lose to the Lakers in the finals. So, yeah, I'd consider them the favorite still now, too.
And so LeBron had ultimately the game-winning basket, but he looked at times like he didn't even really want to be there, especially defensively. That stood out to me. Wasn't good offensively for most of the night until you really needed him in the end.
How about that defense on the last play?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Kawhi and Paul George, he locked them both up.
But Anthony Davis was awesome in this game for the Lakers. Kyle Kuzma, just overall, and like, I get it. Like, who's this Lakers talk? No. I was pumped as a sports fan to feel like everything was kind of normal for a few hours last night, specifically with that game. I loved it. And at the end, too, it's like, oh, man, oh, right, we're living in the hell pandemic. I forgot about that for a little while thanks to this game. And hopefully we'll get the same kind of product tonight with the Celtics and the Bucks. Bruins, on the other hand, I know you guys were on air last night. Yourself and Adam Jones. I don't know if you had one eye on it or at least watched a bit of a recap.
We had a game on each TV last night.
It's nice. It's been a while.
Talk
since
about
been that, able to
being,
do that,
that
right?
being a weird situation. It hasn't been like that in a while. And by the way, it's like August, so it's super weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty cool last night.
But I get that it's an exhibition game, and you have to take it with a grain of salt. And a lot of times, no matter what sport you're talking about, when you have an exhibition or preseason game, you know, guys are maybe going half speed, quarter speed. But I don't know how you can watch that first period and feel that great. I think it's okay to look at how that team looked and how rusty that they looked in that first period all around. Name a player. They all looked terrible. And it looked better as it went along, especially in the third period. But for a team that I really feel like has the best chance out of any of the teams in town to actually win a championship here in the next year or so, but especially in these COVID seasons, the Bruins, they're the Vegas favorite. They were playing like a buzzsaw before the shutdown, like they had something to prove after the way that they failed last year in Game 7 against the St. Louis Blues. That didn't make me feel great last night because I have high expectations. I think the city, the region has a lot of high expectations for the Bruins and this NHL return. That wasn't great. That was not great last night.
It was bad right from the jump. They looked slow. They looked rusty. They looked flat. I mean, really, that was the worst of it. I mean, we watched as much of it as we could in that first period, sort of keeping an eye on that and the Red Sox and what was going on in the NBA too. But you saw what you needed to see in that first period. Giveaways in their own zone. Sean Corrali got dropped down to the fourth line after he gave the
as
Brad Marchand had a terrible game. No shots on net. He got hurt. He had that penalty that led to the third goal. Outside of Pasternak, his goal, Stanika, I think, played pretty well. And aside from that, I thought everybody looked pretty much equally sucky. It was not a good performance.
So they'll get back in action, real action this weekend. But sports are back. The real ones are back, at least to me. It's like, all right, the NBA's back. Yay. We got hockey back this weekend, too. And if you still want to talk about the Red Sox, we will take those calls as well on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Maz. 617-779-0985. We're off and running, and we'll hear from you next.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think as the game went along, I think guys started, you know, picking up the pace. And I thought in the third and second period, we were, you know, much better than the first. But, you know, again, it's exhibition, and we all are happy that it's behind us. And now, you know, it's real thing starts.
Bruins backup goalie Yaro Halak. Last night's exhibition loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets of the bubble in Toronto. Yeah, it was better in the third. How about those first two, Yaro? Especially that first.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's an agenda-free Friday. Jim Murray and Kristen Arcand in for Mike and Tony today. And you at 617-779-0985. You want to join us on an agenda-free Friday. Felger and Maz brought to you by DraftKings. I mean, Halak was fine once he came in for Rask. I mean, the whole team sucked in the first period. I'm not going to specifically get on Rask for the first period. It was just a bad performance by he and the rest of the team. I mean, defensively, they just looked like they were asleep. It was rust, like they half-assed it, whatever. That's just not going to be good enough when they start up Sunday against the Philadelphia Flyers. That's That's a given. But we'll open up today with a Bruins thought with Frank the Tank. You're first up here this afternoon on Felger and Mass. Hey, Frank.
Boys, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Not too much. Just sweating like an animal in a cage in my postal vehicle. Look, you know, I'm not concerned about, you know, being in, you know, an exhibition game or whatever. That's all fine and dandy. I understand everybody's going to have rust and this and that. Fine. Columbus didn't really look like they had too much rust, though, in the first period. They looked like they were pretty much exploiting the Bruins in their own end. And my main concern is, you know, in order for Cassidy to run his system and for this team to be as successful as they were before the shutdown, they've got to skate. And they're not going to be successful with their offense or their defense. And we all know they're a good defensive unit when they get right down to it. I was more concerned about the skating aspect of the game. That's where my concern was, not about whether they won or lost or anything, but it is concerning that they didn't come out with a little bit more of an effort. And I just, to me, the glaring thing was they weren't skating. And if they're going to be successful in this tournament, when everything really kicks off on Sunday, this team has to skate. They've got to skate. They've got to get to pucks. And that's how they create their offense and succeed on their defense. So that was my concern, Jim. It was the skating is what really bothered me.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's that. You know, Arcan, I think you mentioned, too, it was like a lot of, let's just throw the puck in the middle of the ice and hope a forward's there.
Yeah, well, in our own zone. Right.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing. It's like, you know, I don't necessarily need you to win an exhibition. Can you at least look crisp for most of it? It got better as you got to the third period, but man, those first two. And I'm not worried, just a little concerned.
I mean, the season starts on Sunday. You should be kind of worried. Like, it's not like they have another bunch of exhibition games. That was it. That's the only tune-up they have. It actually counts on Sunday.
Small C concerned is all, because, you know, you did have Pastrnak out, sitting out all those practices for COVID-ish reasons, even though he didn't get it and really didn't want to take any kind of responsibility for whatever actions he was up to, whether it was skating in Malden or playing roller hockey in Charlestown, whatever. Just doesn't feel like it's... So I watched that, and with everything that's been surrounded this team with these practices over in Brighton, Christian, it just feels like it's a little too loose for my liking. Like, it's like, do you know what's at stake here? Do you get it? Do you get it? Because, again, you're the prohibitive favorite, the Vegas favorite. You were playing like a buzzsaw before the shutdown. You dialed in. Didn't really feel like it last night, and that's annoying.
No, and if it was a young team full of, like, young kids, I'd say, okay, well, you know, they're young and they're not really used to this. There's a lot of veterans on this team. There's a lot of veteran leadership, and I'm not really sure how you can let something like that happen. Even Cassidy, who I think is a good coach, I'm surprised he had him so unprepared to go out there and play in that exhibition game. Now, it looked to me like Cassidy was really trying to figure out what his bottom six line pairings are going to be, because he was all over the place. And then when Marchand got hurt, he really had to get even more creative there. But it seemed like they were almost not even prepared on that end to even know who to put out on the ice after you had your first two lines go out. And I'm sort of watching this going, man, is anyone ready? Like, other than Pastrnak, is anyone ready to go out there? And the answer I'd have to say was no, not really. Definitely not Tuca.
I haven't heard what you and Jones have been talking about with this team as, you know, NHL's getting started up. Are you as bullish as, like, most of the region is that, you know, they should win the cup? And I know that Jones feels like they're going to fail because they're the Bruins and that's what they do. But you, like, do you feel like they should be back and actually make a deep run?
Yes, of course. Of course they should. What they did this year, I think, is really, it's the most unfortunate for them out of anybody, the way that this whole thing with the pandemic played out. Because they were so good. I mean, they were the best team in the NHL. They didn't have the Stanley Cup hangover everyone was expecting them to have. And they went out and just, you know, put blinders on and beat the crap out of everybody, which doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to win the Stanley Cup as the Lightning last year. But I think that, you know, we talked about last year like it was the last hurrah, right? I remember you saying when you walked out of that game,
oh, that's it.
Like, that's it. These guys are done. And they proved, no, we still have another run left in us. So yeah, I'm not going to eliminate them from contention, but they need to snap out of whatever that was real fast.
Mike in Rhode Island, you're next up here in an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Murray. I just wanted to know your opinion. What do you think looks better on TV, the NBA or the NHL? For me, I thought I'd like the NBA more, but it just looks so weird with the low camera angle. And I like how the NHL is in a legitimate stadium. They cover the seating. I'm just used to it more. What do you think?
Yeah, the NHL looks more like how the product normally looks. And it's a sport that I'm normally not noticing the fans as it is anyway, just based on the camera angles, how tight it is on the ice, how fast the action is. One of the first, the Flyers-Pittsburgh game, which was the first of the exhibitions on a couple of days ago, we had on during the show. And Maz and I looked up and were like, oh, this looks awesome. And it did, and it sounded good. I think the NHL is the superior product so far of anything that's returned. We'll see what football's like in the fall. The NBA, now that they're playing real games, it looks better. I don't know about you, Kristen. I didn't like the court. I wish that they had painted the out-of-bounds. But I get why they had it one uniform color now, and even that includes the out-of-bounds, is because they're putting ads there.
Yeah.
They're superimposing ads. They're trying to make it look like the home court. They did it last night. They did it with the first game. It was supposed to be a New Orleans home game. Like, now I understand what they were doing there. The Black Mirror-ish fans, the Zoom fans... I could take it or leave it.
They're too big.
Yeah.
That's the press. Like, they're giant. It's like Gulliver's Travels or something, you know? Like, it's you can't have them be that much bigger than the players. But I do sort of, I like the idea of it. I like the idea of, you know, checking in on the fan, having a Jumbotron. It reminds me of when you're at the Garden and they pan the crowd and there's little kids dancing and stuff. Like, that's what it makes me think of, which I don't love, but it's like, seems like you're at the game, you know? So I'm okay with that, but they just can't have the fans be so freaking big.
And baseball, I think it depends on the stadium. I think the games have looked better at Citi Field. For the with the Red Sox playing at the Mets than they do at Fenway. The empty seats at Fenway behind home plate, it's too jarring. Tarp it up, maybe do the fake fans. But I don't like the fake fans that I saw at Dodger Stadium. They're too dystopian looking with the creepy smiles. I don't know.
Dead eyes.
Yeah, Mary Hart looking at you like, Dodger baseball, yay. Ian in the car on the Bruins' performance in that exhibition last night. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, Mark. You mentioned Rask and how you know you're not going to blame everything on him. Yeah, I thought he played all right, especially as the end of the first period kind of went along. There were a couple of chances, especially that Corrali one, and we saw what happened with Cassidy and how he was, you know, very quick to pull back on the leash. I just think that, you know, maybe this year especially we see a shorter leash for Rask and how, you know, Halak has played a little bit more consistently this year. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, look, I mean, when it all comes down to it, I'm going to be consistent here. Do I really, truly, gun to my head, trust Tuukka Rask in a gotta-have-it Game 7 Stanley Cup final? No, never again. I'm not falling for that banana in the tailpipe ever, ever, ever again. But if I'm also being fair, was Halak great last night even though he didn't allow a goal? Not really. There was a couple that clanged off the post, and it looked like they just missed over his shoulder, the Blue Jackets. Like, he was too. Like, if, you know, it just overall... Who was good last night? Corrali, David Krejci, I guess, Jake Stanika. You can say, like, oh, okay, I kind of get it there. But beyond that, like, overall, they didn't look great. But just an exhibition, so small C concern. Not freaked out. Don't really feel like, oh, the Bruins are going to fail here. They're going to lose on Sunday against Philadelphia. Just would have liked a little Christmas. That's all. Just a little Christmas. Bill in Orlando, you're next here on an agenda-free Friday. Of course, why wouldn't this get all locked up, you sea-sucking piece of crap? If you could pull up line two, Jimmy Stewart, please.
Hey, what's going on? Murray and Arcan, good to be on the show. I just want to give a quick Celtics take. I was at game two in 2018 where just basically Jason and Jalen blew out the Bucks. We won the series just fine. I don't think a lot has changed on that Bucks team, and now we have Kemba and Gordon. So let's show that we are elite in the East, and everyone needs to play their role. Please, less three-pointers, more twos for Jason and Jalen, and Marcus Smart needs to just do his job, being that hound, and not so much just jack shots and take more than nine or take more than Gordon and company.
I like it, Bill. You're very pumped and bullish on the Celtics. Where do you fall on this team? I know you don't want to hear any excuses. You opened up with that.
Right.
Arcan. But do you like them coming out of the East? Do they have as good a chance as any other team coming out of the East because of this whole setup that they don't have to go to Toronto? They wouldn't have to go to Milwaukee. There is no real home court advantage.
No. And I'd remind the caller there was a series with the Bucks in between that one that you were mentioning, and the Bucks handled them pretty easily last year. So I'm not thinking that that's going to be a good matchup for them. Even this game tonight, you know, they don't have Bledsoe. They don't have that Connaughton off the bench there. Who I don't think he's any great shakes, but Bledsoe's their starting point guard. And this could be a real opportunity for the Celtics to try and and damage them a little bit, or at least show that they can hang with them. But do I think that they have a chance against the Bucks in a conference final? No, probably not. I'm more worried about them getting out of a Philly series in the first round, if that's who they end up playing.
As am I. I think if there's one team that I'm still concerned about in that conference, it's Philadelphia. But Philadelphia sucks. They all hate each other. Yeah, in a lot of ways, they mirror last year's Celtics when it comes to a chemistry standpoint. But they have size. You don't. They're 3-1 against you before the shutdown. I just still think it's a bad matchup, even though they're mostly a bunch of a-holes and coached by a moron in Brett Brown. But, yeah, I'm still a little scared of the 76ers. Also a little scared of Kemba Walker's knee. We'll touch on that coming up next here on an agenda-free Friday. You want to join us again? Couple open lines, 617-779-0985. We'll get to you and some thoughts on Kemba Walker's knee as the Celtics return tonight. They're back for real against the Milwaukee Bucks at 6 o'clock. It's 98.5 of Sports Up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Baz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
We all know they're one of the best teams in our league right now. So it's going to be a challenge. You know, it's going to give us an opportunity to kind of work on things. It's good. You know, it's good to get those guys for, you know, the first game, just because we know it's going to be a tough challenge. So, you know, we're looking forward to the matchup. We're looking forward to the competitiveness, because we know for a fact that they're going to bring it, as they do each and every night, each and every game. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun challenge.
Celtics guard Kemba Walker. Sounds like he's pumped. He and his teammates to return tonight, open up the Celtics restart, the NBA restart, which officially began last night with a couple of games on the slate. The Celtics take on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll catch it here on 98.5 of Sports Hub with Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, and actually coverage will begin on the NBC Sports Boston side at 5:30. So we'll be ending the simulcast a little early tonight. It is Felger and Maz. No Mike, no Tony today. You have Jim Murray and Christian Arcand in, and you at 617-779-0985. So how about a quick roundtable of sorts? Hey, I want to mirror some of the questions that were asked in a column you can read at 98.5sportshub.com, courtesy of our own Sean Silver, who asked myself, including Jimmy Stewart as well, executive producer Jay Stu, and others here at the station, some random questions about this team and their return. And first up, Kemba Walker's knee. Your level of concern, Arkin, starting with you. From one being a shrug to 10, like, oh boy, it's all a matter of time before he ends up under the knife. Where are you on your concern for Kemba Walker's knee in the return?
I'd say I'm around an 8.
Oh, wow, think, that high.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I'm very,
okay.
Very high with this because, okay. I mean, it's pretty simple to me, Jim. 4 months off should have been enough. If there's nothing that needs surgery or injections or any of this other stuff with Kemba Walker's knee, I feel like the 4 months should have been enough rest and relaxation for him to not feel like he needs to be on a minutes restriction today, only play 9 minutes in a scrimmage last week, and generally be talking about how frustrating this nagging injury's been for him the entire time. I'm very concerned about it, and I think that, you know, in terms of Kemba and his usage, I'd be fine with them not playing him at all in these 8 games and just wait until the playoffs and getting all you can before he has to go under the knife. I think that's probably the next step there.
Is a lot of that because of the contract, how long he's here? It's, you're just thinking more long term than anything else.
Okay. Don't let that thing linger. Just get it done and get it over with. And I know the next season starts really quickly, so you might be splitting the hen here, but I think that's what you have to do. Otherwise, it's just going to follow him around the entire time.
Jimmy Stewart, for those that didn't read Sean Silver's piece, where are you, scale of 1 to 10 on Kemba's knee?
I'm a 2. I'm big C concerned.
No, I just feel like... 10's the most.
It's not his fault
concerned.
He went 4 months without getting treatment, but if he has a knee issue, I believe he has a knee issue that they're going to have to manage here. But if Stevens, who doesn't lie, says, oh, this is as strong as Kemba's knee's been since September, then the Celtics knew when they signed him he had potential for a knee issue. So if that's the case, then 35 minutes tonight, right? No minutes restriction. But I'm concerned that he's going to max out like he did in the All-Star game, and it's going to take him out of the lineup.
So you'd actually be an 8, because 10's the most concerned.
You said. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'd be an 11.
Oh, okay. yeah, because you've been on, you know, we should have heeded your word. As we, you know, we should always pay attention to Stu and his sources. And when he says he believes, he believes. And I remember
Jim, when I'm right 52% of the time, I'm wrong 48% of the time.
Yeah, but still, I mean, even just a couple of months into the hell pandemic while we're sitting around here, futzing around, trying to find stuff to talk about, you're like, yeah, no, he's not practicing and he's not right. Like, ah, no, no, 4 months off, who knows, all this time off, Kemba Walker will be fine. It'll be fine, it'll be fine. Nope, not what I'm hearing. I believe the knee is not good. It's not good. 4 month layoff. Still dealing with pain in that knee. Team's handling with kid gloves, obviously, at these practices. It's not a good sign. And if I had to guess, he probably won't have that much of an impact during the reboot. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, I told Sean Silver 5. I'm a hard 5. And I middle it because, like, I do think he's a tough little bastard. I do. I think, you know, he's professional. Is. He's tough. That's the one thing I really liked about him coming here is he doesn't miss games. So he'll gut it out. But if it's not right, and, you know, with all the torque you're putting on your legs playing hoops, like,
there's a lot of miles there. He played every game in Charlotte.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think it's very much of a rosy outlook.
And this is his first crack at being a legitimate championship contender.
Right.
So he's going to max it out even more.
Yeah, so I don't know. I have some concerns there, and I heed your warning, Stu, and I feel like it's all a matter of time before he goes under the knife and we're all lamenting this this contract and like, oh, what a terrible deal. They should have never given Kemba that kind of money and that kind of, those kind of years and blah. He will tough it out. Hopefully, he'll be able to be productive. Stu, you feel like this is the best team in the East.
They have 4 all-stars in Hayward, Walker, Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, or 4 potential all-stars because some of them haven't become all-stars. That should be enough to get you in the NBA Finals. And you might get blown out by LeBron and Anthony Davis when you get to the finals because LeBron's on a mission, as is Anthony Davis, but I expect the Celtics team to be in the NBA Finals because the 4 NBA All-Stars, and you have Smart and Williams and Tice, who are gritty defenders, who can match up well. That's where the Celtics should be, in the NBA Finals.
Celtics in the NBA Finals. I feel like it's you and DJ Bean that are banging the drum for this.
Well, I'm pork then.
Mike,
stick to hockey, DJ.
Mike and Nashua, how do you feel about the Celtics and their chances in the Orlando bubble?
I am just so ecstatic that they're freaking playing. I mean, come on. I spent 4 months playing board games with my kids. But I think it's a total wild card. And I agree with Jimmy Stewart. They got the horses. Let's let them run. And, you know, we got the Yankees Sox tonight. I got a 6-pack of Sammy's on ice. It's going to be a good night. Let's let it roll.
I like it, Mike. I like the cut of your jib, you know, still even, you know, and now that the Red Sox I'll have like kind of a quarter eye on here going in because now I'm happy that, like, to me, the real sports are back. I'm more about the Celtics than anything else tonight and then the Bruins for real on Sunday against Philadelphia. But no, it's all good. Sports are actually back. We have things to talk about. We're having coach interviews again. Brad Stevens on with Zolak and Bertrand the other day. It's like, oh, it feels like normal, our kid. It really does. It's nice.
It's weird.
You guys got 2 games on at TVs last night. Like, it's like, oh, man, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and in the spring, I mean, that's generally what we do. You know, we're here in the spring and there's baseball just starting and you get the playoffs and sort of everything else. It's very weird to have that going on. Like, it's August tomorrow. And here we are watching hockey and basketball and regular season baseball with football right around the corner. It's a very sort of weird sensation. But I'll be honest with you. I agree with the call. Like, I haven't felt this normal really since baseball starting, I think, sort of kicked it off. But that was the first time I woke up and was like, oh, yeah, there's a game tonight. I'll put that on the DVR, something to watch when I get home from the show. You know, there's that West Coast game still on. It feels normal. It's not normal, but it feels normal.
Meyer in Charlestown on Kemba Walker's knee. Go ahead, Meyer.
How's it going, guys? So I just heard you guys saying that Kemba shouldn't be playing this regular season. I completely disagree. I mean, you saw it last night. LeBron James, he just needed to get the rust off. I believe that the same thing needs to be with Kemba Walker. He was on a minute restriction, I think you guys said 9 minutes, but he definitely has to play a little bit more out there and just be ready for the playoffs.
And that was you, Arcan, that said that you wouldn't even mind if they basically
shut him down for the 8 games. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. And the difference between LeBron James and Kemba Walker is that LeBron wasn't dealing with a bad knee this whole 4 months. It didn't get any better. So that's why I feel like Kemba Walker needs to be treated with kid gloves, which is already happening, by the way. He only played 9 minutes in these scrimmages of the 3 total. And, you know, he's on a minutes restriction tonight. They clearly don't feel comfortable turning him loose. And I feel like if you're going to turn him loose ever, you might as well do it when the game games are actually playoff games, and you know these 8 games here aren't really going to have that much bearing on them. I don't think they're going to catch Toronto. To make up 3 games in 8 tries, I think is really asking a lot. So rest them and turn them loose in the playoffs.
Celtics have an easy schedule here. Their toughest matchup is tonight against the Bucks.
I agree. Their toughest game is tonight. You know, they have some whams on there, so they should, you know, they win.
5 of their games are against 7 seeds or worse.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty good schedule.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls here on Agenda-Free Friday. You want to join us, one open line, 617-779-0985. We'll get to some of your calls coming up in our long commercial-free segment. Did you see who arrived at Gillette Stadium today? Your quarterback. That's not a question mark. That's not speculation.
That's your quarterback, Jim Murray.
It's all our quarterbacks now. It's Cam Newton. Cam Newton's your quarterback.
Well, tell me how good he can read a defense and talk to me.
Jared Stidham still could beat him. It's Cam Newton's your quarterback. Your quarterback arrived today at Gillette Stadium.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
I'm narcoleptic on Brian Hoyer. I've been asleep on Brian Hoyer. I'll keep sleeping, Bedard. But we'll touch on that next here on Felger and Mass.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass on an Agenda-Free Friday. Jim Murray and Kristen Arcan in for Mike and Tony today. For simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick is scheduled to speak in just about 40 minutes. Try to go to that live on both ends. I know we definitely will on simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, but I'm sure he'll have some things to say. Hopefully he'll touch on the arrival of the Patriots' new quarterback. Yes, I'm stating that factually. As Cam Newton has arrived.
Well, he'll have a chance to compete for the job, Jim.
Arrived at Gillette Stadium. I just ignore it.
100% chance is what he's going to say.
I ignore it and I laugh at it, whether it's coming from Stu, Zoe, those that cover the team, I just refuse to acknowledge it. It's Cam Newton. I know he's last couple of years banged up, played 8 games, the shoulder, the foot, all that crap. It's Cam Newton. He ain't losing the gig to Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. Please don't sleep on Brian Hoyer. I'm asleep. Been asleep on Brian Hoyer. I'll continue to sleep. Sleeping beauty over here. Cam Newton arrived. He posted that on social media today, kind of like a dark shadow of him in, I believe, some sort of a vehicle or whatever, saying, what's popping, showing up. Here's Gillette Stadium in the background. Julian Edelman all over Instagram, too, right? Like, buddying up with Cam. He looks like he's in great shape, too. So we'll take any thoughts on this. Do you feel like there's going to be competition, Arcan? I haven't heard much discussion on this. Like, because usually when I go home, I'm home. I don't tune in. Like, I'm watching TV, Netflix, now games again. So what's been the night show's thoughts, your thoughts specifically on Cam Newton to the Patriots? Is it going to be a competition, or is the gig his like I think?
I think the gig's his based on his health. And I hate having this conversation, and because every single time you do it, you have to throw in that caveat of, well, you know, if he's healthy, it's going to be his job. And that's, I mean, you'd sort of have to bring it back to that every single time. I do think that there's a chance that Jared Stidham is able to win the job out if Newton's shoulder's shredded up, or if he can't get the ball out. I'll say this: Cam Newton's videos haven't made me feel all that great about his arm and his throwing and anything else, because if you watch the videos, you never actually see the throw leave his hand and then go in the air and then land in the receiver's hand. They always edit it in a way that you just see like the beginning of the throw and then the guy catching it. And it's not like I'm a scout. I can't tell what I'm even looking at, but I feel like if he was out there throwing darts starts to everybody, to Edelman and N'Keal Harry and Mohamed Sanu and that YouTube star he was throwing to last week.
That annoyed the hell out of
me. Logan Paul, yeah.
Logan Paul.
Whoever that guy is. Like, you know, if he was really throwing darts to all those guys, wouldn't you show it? Like, wouldn't you make that, like, the centerpiece? This is the guy you're getting. He's still the man. He can still just drop dimes everywhere. We haven't seen that. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I haven't seen anything from those videos. Makes me feel all that great about it.
Yeah, the one that he had, the initial ones, the workout with Edelman, the pass he threw to him, I mean, I was like, okay, it's nice. Edelman looks like he's in great shape, but if that was a real game, Edelman would have got his clock clean. Like, please don't tell me you're going to be throwing passes like that to him. It's like, no, short routes, that's what he does. Not like outs. Come on. But still, I was pumped to see him show up, and we'll hear from Bill Belichick coming up in just about 40 minutes or so, both here and on the simulcast as well. So let's go to Pat in Foxborough with, I think, an overall sports thought. You're next here on Felger and Mazz. Go ahead, Pat.
How you doing? I got a question. Being a 35-year veteran of the military and talking to a lot of my veteran friends, they're a little upset about what's going on with our national anthem. And I was going to ask you the question, what would you suppose that if we, what would happen if we did away with the national anthem? Would that be a major problem?
It wouldn't for me, but then again, Pat, like, I personally don't really feel any kind of way if people kneel or don't kneel or stand. I get it, as you and your ex-military member friends feel, you know, very strongly that people probably, I would guess, I'm assuming you feel like they should stand. I get it. But if you just get rid of it, I'm for that too. And then, you know, it's like anything, Arcane. You post the word "the" on Twitter and people are going to be fine, right, to be mad about it. But I said this weeks ago on the show, like, I would have no problem with that either. It doesn't mean it's un-American. Like, as it is, like, it almost feels, it's not like you get, feels like in a lot of ways it has been crowbarred in. Like, you do the anthem before any kind of sporting event. It's not like you get the anthem before any other forms of entertainment.
Right.
Well, if you watch movies at the base, if you're in, I get it, that's a different situation, but they're not playing the anthem.
We're not at
movies,
the base.
TV shows, anything like that. So if you got rid of it ahead of professional sports games and collegiate sports games, like, I'm for that too. Like, maybe people would stop bitching. If people can stop bitching, I'm for that.
Do you know that the national anthem was the original Sweet Caroline? Do you know this?
No, what do you mean?
In World War One, the Red Sox at Fenway, they were playing the Cubs in the World Series, and they had a band. They had, like, a live band that would come out and play, and they just play random songs during the game. I read about this. And in the seventh inning, just for fun, they played the national anthem, and everyone started cheering, and they really loved it, and it became this thing they started doing, much like how they do with Sweet Caroline these days now. But then they started playing it before the game, and then they played it before every game, and it became a thing after that. But it started off as just something to pump up the crowd in the middle of the game.
Huh. And here it is all these years later.
Everyone's all pissed off
about
it.
Right. Yeah. If we could get people to just stop being mad about the, you know, kneeling, standing, how it's being handled, if you just get rid of it, can we get rid of all the anger? Like, that, if that's the case, then yes, get rid of it, please. What was your feeling about all the opt-outs, the 6 opt-outs we had in a 24-hour period with this team? Do you feel like there's something behind it, Christian, that it's...
Yeah, it's Belichick's master plan.
Or people are burnt out on Bill. You don't see any Tampa Bay Bucks opting out. Like, they're mad that Brady's not here. Do you think that there are any other slivers of truth to any of that? Or is it just as simple as, hey, there's underlying health issues in a guy like Marcus Cannon, who had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma about a decade ago? Other players have young babies at home. They don't want to bring it home. Any of that. Is it just basically it's COVID concerns? That's why you get these opt-outs.
Yeah, I think it's partially that and partially the fact that a lot of these Patriots have won championships, and that's what you go out and set out to do every year. And, you know, whether or not they think this is a transition year or a rebuilding year with Cam Newton or whatever they think it might be, it's also a pretty messed up year just in terms of everything that's going on in the world. So, yeah, guys like Marcus Cannon, David Andrews. I was more surprised David Andrews is opting in.
Agreed.
Than I was that Dante Hightower was opting out. But when I heard about that, I don't think it's because they hate Bill Belichick. I don't think Patrick Chung hates Bill Belichick or Dante Hightower or anything like that. I sort of figure those are just two older guys on a team that feel like they've got their rings and they do have new babies and they don't want to risk it. So yeah, I think that's perfectly fine and perfectly normal. I don't know if there's going to be other teams with more rashes of opt-outs there, but then again, there's not as many other teams that can boast the success the Patriots have had in the last, you know, 20 years.
So. Yeah, I think it's, you know, look, I think the COVID concerns are real, and that's like 95-96% of it. But that other, you know, that other sliver, I think it is mostly that, especially when you look at guys that are as successful as Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon, who have been here this whole time. You've won these multiple championships. Like, they're a victim of their own success. Like, what else do you really get to accomplish? If you look at this as like a fake season, or you have concerns about COVID, or bringing it home to a family member, your baby, whatever, the hell with this. I'll see you next year. And if it's not going to be here, then maybe I'll retire because I've already accomplished enough. They've done enough. They don't really have much left to prove. I get it. The other big NFL thing that just popped up, if you didn't hear Arcan's last headlines right about 30 minutes ago, Antonio Brown, likely going to be back in the NFL, I would think. He is going to serve an 8-game suspension. That came down effective September 5th. Whether or not he's on a roster or not, reading from Dan Graziano of ESPN, runs through week 8 of the regular season or his team's 8th game if he signs during the suspension. 8-game suspension. We now know that that's what he's going to serve. I immediately thought, like, he's going to end up on a team. And there's teams that have sniffed around him, whether that's Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. Right. You just had the reigning MVP, Lamar Jackson, quarterback in Baltimore Ravens, talking him up this week. He's going to land on maybe one of these teams, but he'll find a home somewhere.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be somewhere destroying a locker room in, in any minute now. And I think you'll absolutely see that. There's been enough interest, certainly, in him. And there was enough interest back the first time when he already blew up two locker rooms before the Patriots signed him. So, yeah, NFL teams are never really going to learn with Antonio Brown. The only thing that was keeping them from signing him was this investigation, which went on an awfully long time. I mean, you know, like, I know they were looking at a couple of different things, including this most recent one of him beating up that moving truck driver or whatever, but like, God, what you talk about efficiency with these investigations between the Patriots and Spygate 2 there, and now this with Antonio Brown. I mean, we're talking years for something that shouldn't have taken that long, but regardless, 8 games, not very much for what he's accused of, so I'd be really interested in knowing what the findings were and what they determined he did other than just breaking the policy they have about personal conduct. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to break that thing again if he gets back on a team.
Yeah, he's a disaster waiting to happen, but the NFL PR just did put out a release on Antonio Brown. Let's see how vague it is. Antonio Brown suspended first 8 regular season games 2020 season for violations of NFL's personal conduct policy. Antonio Brown notified today by NFL special counsel conduct Todd Jones. He has been suspended without pay first 8 regular season games 2020, blah, blah, blah. Brown played 1 game in the 19 season for the Patriots before being released. Unrestricted free agent, may sign with any team if he signed before them. I mean, this is all vague. You don't really learn anything why he part of the discipline. Brown directed to continue his program of counseling and treatment. That won't work.
It's working great so far, I'd say. Yeah.
He's fully expected to cooperate with his clinicians. Brown has advised that any future violation of the personal conduct policy will likely result in more significant discipline. Yeah, you think? But that's really vague. I joked that it was going to be vague, and the thing was vague. Like, I don't really know what the hell they're actually specifically popping him for. It's just conduct detrimental. That's all. Either way, he's going to land somewhere. It better not be here again. It wouldn't be, right? No, there's no way. They wouldn't put up with that again, what he said about Robert Kraft on his way out the door. A couple open lines you want to join us on an agenda-free Friday, 617-779-0985. We'll get to right to your calls on everything from the week. Whether it's Red Sox, the Celtics again returned tonight, Bruins last night, the exhibition looked like complete ass, but small C concern, that's all, not going to freak out about it. Any of that, and anything from a national standpoint, too. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. First, though, the headlines with Arcan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.